Welcome to Truth on Trial. Get ready to explore the intersection of faith, law, business, and life from a biblical worldview. I'm your host, Judge Phil Ginn. Politics is a dirty thing. I'm pretty sure you've heard and even experienced firsthand the meaning of this phrase. Certainly, it is a description that is well earned sometimes by even seemingly credible candidates. And there's always the seduction of success that sometimes alters the morals and integrity of someone who embarks on a campaign for office with well-meaning intentions. But there are also, sadly, many examples of candidates who start out on a relatively low plane of uprightness and are really willing to allow almost any dark influence in their campaign and life in order to achieve the desired realm of power or notoriety that they seek. This whole ugly scenario often is referenced to someone who has sold their soul to the devil in exchange for the prize. For over six decades, I have watched as good people rose to power and excelled in leadership for the good of their constituents. Unfortunately, the reverse has been true as well. I have seen good men and good women falter in their wholeness during political campaigns, and I've sadly also watched as men and women of low degree have attained offices beyond their ability to govern. When either of the latter two scenarios occurs, the people are the ones who ultimately suffer. This upcoming election is one in which some are despairing of a candidate worthy of their support, and I understand that pain. However, as a Christian, I just do not believe that we are absolved from our responsibility to vote even in the face of less than stellar choices on the ballot. We are still required as believers to vote as closely to a true biblical worldview as possible, even in an election cycle like the one we face in 2024. This is true because sometimes there is a clear distinction between policies, despite the muddling in the character of the main protagonists. Such will be the case when Christians go to the polls in just a few days. There's a myriad of issues that are on the ballot along with and under the names of the two candidates for presidents, for instance. Issues like uncontrolled immigration, rising crime rates, inflation, deficit spending, and our national integrity throughout the world, particularly as it applies to the nation of Israel. However, there are no greater issues facing our country than our First Amendment rights to religion and speech, along with the great national stain of abortion on demand. While there may be arguments to be made concerning less than 1% of abortions, clearly the wholesale acceptance of the murder of a child, even up to and after birth, is without a doubt the blackest mark on the honor of America. But just this past week, Vice President Harris revealed publicly for the first time that now our freedom of religion and ultimately the free access to the killing of children are somehow inextricably tied together. In case you missed it, there was a dialogue that occurred between Ms. Harris and a reporter for NBC. That interaction revealed what many of us already suspected. While providing an answer to one particular question, it became apparent that Ms. Harris has an agenda against Christianity, largely because of our moral and biblical stand against the killing of the unborn and perhaps even against homosexuality and transgenderism. The exact question posed to Ms. Harris by the reporter about concessions in a national abortion bill was this. What concessions would be on the table? Religious exemptions, for example? Is that something you would consider? The vice president's response was very telling. She said, "I don't think we should be making concessions when we're talking about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body." In other words, anyone who is opposed to any and all abortions on demand will lose their fundamental First Amendment right to disagree. Christian doctors, nurses, hospitals, clinics may all well be forced to perform abortions or risk losing their licenses. Prayers in front of abortion clinics will become crimes. Even voicing a contradictory opinion in public may lead to censorship or even worse, incarceration. And if you doubt my words, just take a look at what's already happening in Europe and Canada. In reality, this upcoming election could well be the last stand for religious freedom in America. Not only that, but it could well be the watermark that determines the line between the protection of the unborn and the wholesale slaughter of our children. All this is for the mere trade-off of sexual freedom that will somehow trump even the expression of true faith in America. As Christians, It is unpardonable for us in any way to remotely be complicit in such an endeavor as that which is now underfoot. So, as you cast your ballot in the next few days, and I certainly hope you will, please consider the clear distinctions between choices that will be made. There may only be names that appear on your ballot, but the issues and policies behind the names will frame the very future of our nation. In the strife between truth and falsehood, now is the moment to decide. Hebrews 10:31 sums up the alternative very well. The Lord will judge His people, it says. It is a fearful thing for sinners to fall into the hands of the living God. And so, it will be.
Thank you for listening to Truth on Trial. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow us and share this conversation with your friends so that we can continue to impact the kingdom together worldwide.